Part of my hammering, if they want to call it that, was that I told them, you know, the problems in the church are not being caused by the young people. And even in light of that, I told them there will be no future church without a present one. And right now it's the present one we had best be concerned about. This bumper sticker said to pray for the minds of the children. And I thought about that. But, you know, you think about the children's minds. You ever thought about how they look at things? Even the younger young people, the 8, the 9, the 10-year-olds, the 13s and 14-year-olds. You ever thought about how they look at things? You ever notice how children have such an innocence about them? They don't hold grudges very long, do they? They can go at it with each other, toe to toe, blow to blow. And a little while later, they're playing with each other again, are they not? Something can happen today and tomorrow it's different. And whenever I've seen that bumper sticker that said, pray for the minds of the children, I started thinking, pray for the minds of the adults, because they hold grudges for years and years and years. They don't forget. They're the ones, and I also told them that there seems to be a spirit of unbelief working amongst us. You know, you sent out the call that says somebody's sick and they're about to die. And people don't hardly believe it. And again, like I told them, I'm not talking about out there. But people won't hardly believe it. They don't take in the seriousness until it almost slaps them in the face. And I understand that we try to sometimes figure out what's going on. As one minister told me, said, well, when I first heard your wife was sick, I thought maybe she had the stomach flu. You know, we need to quit trying to diagnose what we have, because we can't do it. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't understand, but it's amazing to me how people will try to diagnose everything instead of listening to the person that's suffering. And we've suffered from that malady. Now, I've seen times where sometimes circumstances arise. Local people are dealing with it. Other ministers listen to what they feel like to have confidence in others. And we've had some results where people have been ordained when others said they shouldn't be. They ordained them anyway, and we're suffering as a result of it. And that's happened more than once. And it's happened in my little lifetime, so it's not anything new. But as you look upon it, and as I mentioned, adults have these things. And they don't forget. And they'll go on and they'll let it fester. And you hear all of the messages about forgiveness and giving it up and throwing things out. And yet people can't seem to do that. And even as I said, there was several, you know, like they just can't believe my wife is doing fine. Even at the minister's meeting, one of them asked me, is your wife really doing all right, or is she just toughing things out? No, she's doing all right. It's almost like when Peter was set free from the jail and he's knocking at the door and the saints couldn't believe that he was delivered. May the Lord help us. It's a mind thing. Satan battles on the battlefield of the mind. Yes. Now, we do need to pray for the minds of our children. Yes. Because my wife has expressed, and we've noticed it, and you know, they say, well, the Bible says they get weaker and wiser. That's not scripture. That's just a statement. Yes. You won't find that in the Bible. Amen. And I have to dispute that. Now, you might say, who are you to judge? But it seems like to me to get weaker and dumber. I've told my children, said, I've watched other children, said, they don't even know how to lie good. You know, they don't know how to craft one where it's believable. I've seen that. Like, you know, we did better than that back then, even though it was wrong. And you see other things and you think, well, this just doesn't seem to apply. There's something lacking there in the coming generations, in the present generations. But may the Lord help us. So we do need to pray for the children's minds. But we better include ourselves in there as well. Because there won't be a future without a present. And the present is what we have right now. So we need to consider. This is the place that Satan battles men. This is the place that he endeavors to work. And I'm finding that he's able to work in places that you wouldn't ordinarily think he ought to be able to work. I say there's some sort of spirit of unbelief, and there's a malaise that's settled over this entire country, and that includes us too, right here in the churches. And people don't seem to see things, don't seem to see the detriment in some things along the way. All they seem to see is what they want to do. And may the Lord help us. And then there are those who think they see some things, and they can't see themselves. So, when you look upon it, obviously they are troublesome to me. And as I say, I went to Fresno, and I ended up telling my wife, I didn't come up here to fast, and that looked like that's about what we were doing. Because it seemed like we kept getting hit with things where you'd have to talk to this one or talk to that one, and we wasn't getting to eat like you would figure. And even while there at Monarch, and I was talking with my wife coming, we got caught, they had an accident, so we were stuck in the traffic there, and I told her, says, but just think about the people that they came to talk to us like we had something special. Yeah. And they weren't all just people. Some of them were ministers, and it's like, you know, I don't have anything special. All it tells me is, Lord, we need some help. And may He help us. But this also shows that Satan is pressing people everywhere. Yeah. Ministers are having to deal with a lot of things. Yeah. And I was reading here not too long ago where Stephen spoke about how the Jews killed their prophets. They called Jeremiah the weeping prophet, but they seem to have had no problem sticking Jeremiah down in a hole in the ground because he wouldn't say things that they liked to hear. Other prophets they killed off. When the apostles came, they killed all of them except two, and one killed himself and the other one was blessed to die of old age. And I thought, you know something, Lord? It's still the same today. We are killing off our ministers. Help us to wake up. And we're not just killing them off and putting them in the ground, but you run into things, well, this one's not preaching anymore, and there's something going on there, and you don't know what the whole story was, and you don't even get part of the story at times, but you think, Lord, we're in trouble, and we don't seem to know it. So may He help us. Satan is battling in the hearts and the minds. And sometimes when you look for encouragement from someone, I remember once my sister, her little baby son was sick and he wasn't doing very well and he ended up dying. And another saint came to her and told her, now you know if he passes away, you could go to jail. Let me ask you, where's the faith and the encouragement in that? And if you're thinking that way, you're really not able to pray with faith. You're certainly not able to help in the fight. And I know there's some others. We dealt with someone that's suffering an affliction right now. And some of the things they said people were saying to them about the affliction. Not sinners. Saints. And it's not encouraging to them. Some of this, they're battling this affliction and it's trying to affect their nerves. And then they get a call from somebody who, instead of saying, I'm here to encourage and I want you to know I'm praying for you. You know what they told them? Well, now that you like you are, when are you going to let me talk to your daughter? I'm saying this, but I want us to get a hold of something in all of this. And so they let them know, I'll let somebody else see about that. But when they got off the phone, it said it just gave them a setback. Affected their nerves. Now, they, I guess, maybe had to let them know in a way that this daughter they're talking about told them she has a mentor. That's Brother Paul and Sister Sarita. And if she needs some help, she'll go talk to them. And I spent part of my time talking to her while I was there. But I'm looking at that and I thought, this lady did not need that kind of statement made to her. From somebody that's older, who ought to know better, definitely was not moved by the Spirit of God to say that. That's partly why you're hearing me saying, I'm going to say some more. The Lord is giving me some thoughts, and I'm trying to save them till the meeting time. But I'm not through talking about the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And as you look upon it, you consider, you may not remember, but Brother Charles Taylor preached right here, and he said that sometimes Satan will use saved and sanctified folk and cause them to say things or do things that are damaging. But we have in our mindset that if I'm saved and sanctified, what I do is right. And that's not true. And we need to understand that. That in my being saved and sanctified, I can take it upon myself to do something, and Satan can push it upon me, and I can accept it and do the wrong thing. That sounds foreign to what people want to believe about being saved and sanctified, but it's true.
Yes.
And we need to face that. Many of the things that we want to go and say, it's not for us to say. That's not our place. And God did not tell us to say it. Who are you to say what God says? I don't care how you look at it, I'm saying it. He did not tell us many times to say what we go and say. It's not our place. We just got worked up in our spirit and we just think something ought to be done. And we end up doing more damage than help. And it's affecting people in a great way. May God help us. You look and you see things and you hear things. And you know, some of these things have affected people. One person, their wife, was affected in such a way that she just about had a breakdown. To think that after all of her effort to help as a pastor's wife, after all of the years, that all they could see was something that wasn't true. And she just couldn't hardly take it. We need God to help us. And we need to move when He begins to deal with us. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. The third verse. Paul was talking here. And we're still talking about the mind and Satan battling us in that area. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Paul met many trials and tests. We all meet trials and tests. And the Lord is a God of mercy. He is a God of comfort, a God of consolation. And He endeavors to help us and comfort and support us in the midst of those trials and tests. And it is not that He's doing it just for us to enjoy it or to experience it for ourselves, but it is so that we can somehow be a blessing unto others as they come along the way. So he's speaking and greeting him here, but he goes on and says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. We've been afflicted many times. He'd suffered many things. But as he met those things while walking in the pathway of Christ, he found consolation, he found comfort, he found help, he found support by God's hands. God does not keep us from meeting things as we go along the way. He does not prevent us from dealing with things as we go along the way. But he does help us if we'll accept his divine help, and we can come through it in a sanctified and a holy manner." Yeah. And it doesn't mean we have to poke our lips out and tell somebody out, or try to straighten somebody up, or try to set everything straight like it ought to be. He really tells us and he helps us so we can keep ourselves. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual, which has power, which has an effect. This causes something to take place. And he says it's in enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your comfort, your consolation, and salvation. Yes. All of this is so that others can be blessed.
Yes.
All of this is so that people can see how you come through.
Yes.
How many times have you maybe heard, and I've heard it maybe more so from different young ministers who say, "I wish we had somebody who has been through this who could talk to us and help us get through it now." But the sad fact is that many of the older ones got caught up in some of their own ways. It was not sanctified. And I'm talking about ministers. It was not holy. It left a whole lot of problems. And now they're gone. Some of them have died off. And they left people wondering, "I didn't know they were like that." Some of them have strayed off. And they've left people wondering, "How did that happen?" And then you've got the young ones coming along, grappling with what was left over, and hardly know which way to turn and what to do. And then you know what else happens? You and I look upon them and judge them and condemn them. And so now they got you to deal with. They got Satan to deal with. And they have themselves to deal with, wondering, "Am I taking the right path?" You see how Satan works? And it's all a battlefield in the mind. He goes on and lets them know that all of this that we are afflicted by, when we come through it, it's for your consolation and salvation. If I'm comforted, if I'm helped, it's for your comfort and your help. And I'm not saying that from me to you, but I'm saying this is what Paul was trying to get over to them. That whatever the Lord blesses us with, it is also for you.
Yeah.
And this leads further into what I'm wanting to speak on later when it comes to consecration. So I want you to bear some of these things in mind. May the Lord help us. He goes on further and says, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." As we partake and we deal with what comes our way, and many times we talk about patience and we talk about enduring and we talk about long suffering, but let something happen and everybody wants it set in order. Why? What you're really saying is, we want it swept away so I do not have to endure. I do not have to exercise patience. I do not have to get down in God. That's really and truly what's up under what we say. Someone told me, well, I'm used to, this brother is gone on now, so don't try to figure out who it is, but this brother would handle things, or that brother would handle things, or this sister would handle things. And I've thought about that time and time again, and I've questioned myself, Lord, am I really going the way you want us to go? But they said people handle things, but all I can see in the handling is broken pieces. And Lord, that's not what I'm here to do. And with all of the handling, you still got the problem. It's time to quit. This is in the minds and the hearts of the people. And that's where we have to deal. And we have to allow God's Holy Spirit to work. And many things we think we want to just change and see because this is the way it's always been. And it really says we have fear. Because we're afraid something's going to happen and it's going to get all out of control. But yet we say it's all God's. May the Lord shake us. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. He was pressed out of measure. Some of us have been in some of those places where whatever is happening is way beyond us. Way beyond our mind and what we have for intellect and think we know how to handle. Way beyond our strength, our ability to do whatever it takes to try to get things moved in order to get it done. And you know, it's kind of like I've often asked myself with those who say, well, you should do this, you should do that, and you should do the other in reference to your body. And the question always comes to me. When you finally get to where doctors say they can't do nothing for you, then what? Then what? Well, I'll call on God. Oh. Why don't I just bypass all these middlemen and call on God from the beginning?
Yes.
And even as I spoke here not too long ago, someone came to me afterwards and said, well, I don't see it that way. See, God gave us all of this knowledge. And you know what I told them? I said, you know what the problem is? Back in the Old Testament time, they expected miracles to happen. And they did. Yeah. Where they got waylaid was when Jesus came and started preaching the gospel, wanting them to live free from sin. Let him forgive your sins. They couldn't grasp that. They wouldn't accept that. And so, they rejected Christ.
Yeah.
Now we live in a time where it has flip-flopped. The general Christian world, and they're getting to where it's not being that way anymore, would generally tell you whether they were Baptist, whether they were Methodist, whether they were Lutheran, non-denominational, whatever, that Christ will cleanse you from your sin. It used to be, during that time frame, that there wasn't much difference between the Baptist and the Methodist and the Evening Light Saints. And I remember one man, he told me, he said, I know about you. He never went to church with me. The only time he ever saw me was at work, and I was working part-time. But he said, I know about you. He said, you all don't have music in your church, do you? No. And this was during the time that we had cut the first record. And he listened to one. He's like, no, we don't. Yet he was in a group that sung, and they sung without music. I have one of their records. But he said, y'all don't wear jewelry and lipstick and pants and all of that, do you? No. He said, I know about you. He said, we used to be that way till we got new light. But they used to be that way. That was back in the 70s. But on beyond that, there used to not be that much difference. And there were people amongst those people that were sure enough saved. And to be honest, there's still a few of them. But you know, this thing flip-flopped where people felt like Jesus will cleanse you from sin. But some of them can accept that. But they can't accept that God works miracles. Oh, he does, but he's got to do it through somebody else. They didn't used to see it that way in the Old Testament time. And so I told the person, that's what's happened. And God doesn't want us in either place. We are to have the miracles. And we are to have the place with God where you can expect him to work. And that's where Satan has fought people to where they won't see it that way. Paul was pushed out of measure. Where it looked like there's no hope, there's no way of escape, there's no way I'm going to get out of this. But the Lord brought him through. And he was telling them about it right here. We had troubles in Asia. It doesn't say what the troubles were. Some of the commentators try to speculate on what it was, but it really does not say what those troubles were. But they knew that he had been pressed out of measure, where he thought he could die at any time, and that there was no way out of it unless the Lord did do something about it. We're in that time where it seems like people feel like they are being pressed out of measure. And you know, sometimes you can look at it and say, well, the real present hasn't come yet. We're living in some changing times where it could eventually get to where you won't be able to stand and say, I'm a Christian, right here in this United States of America. And you certainly might not be able to stand and say, I'm against or I don't believe in homosexuality. That's wrong. I don't believe in Islam. That's wrong. It can easily come to that place where you and I won't be able to say that without being put in jail. They'll be calling that a hate crime. Some of those laws and legislations may not be happening here, but they're happening in other places. And it'll eventually get here. So, this is a battle. And he was saying he was pressed out of measure. And we're going to find ourselves in some of those places. We had best get a hold of God now. To do it later will be too late. May he help us as we go along the way. Another place Jesus spoke about men's hearts for fear failing them. There are some things coming. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 1st verse. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. There's a lot of things coming. They have already come. And you're finding that people are falling away. They're taking heed to other things. And some of the things that are coming along, you find people are forbidding. Some people look at this scripture and they say it has direct reference to the Pope and the Catholics. And I find that, well, it could have reference to a lot of other things as well. As you're finding a lot of this in the world nowadays. Maybe they don't just come out and tell you you can't marry, but they're bringing forth something more subtle that says you don't need to marry. You can have a life without that. And you can do this and that and the other. But all of this says that there is a battle going on in the conscience, in people's minds. And it's dealing with the ethical and the moral principles that control or inhibit the actions or thoughts of an individual. It's the sense of right and wrong. And it's being attacked every day. Many things are being brought forth where people try to say, oh, that's not necessary, and that's all right. And there's a subtlety there where a lot of things are going forth nowadays and people don't see any detriment in it at all. There's nothing wrong with it. And yet can't see the effects it's having upon people along the way. You look at it. And you think about it. We're not here to debate whether we should be in Iraq. A lot of folks get all upset with George Bush, but your anger is placed in the wrong place. All of that's based in politics. You know something? I've looked at it, and to be downright honest, in a lot of ways, I'd rather he be dealing with it than having John Kerry. Because you'd have a whole lot more trouble than you might think. Some people have told me, well, they just assumed they knew who I voted for. How can you vote for them? So, you know, I have a problem. When people will let you have third trimester partial birth abortions and they see nothing wrong with it, I have a big problem with that. I cannot fathom somebody okaying a child coming down through the birth canal, maybe hanging there just by his head, and you shove some surgical scissors up their skull and split it open. And you say it's all right. And you want me to support that? Can't do it. Because I know that God's going to judge that. And I've had some tell me, well, this other one is for this, that, and the other that's against black people. I said, you know, I can deal with that better than I can deal with this other. Life's always been hard. I can deal with that better. There's some other things that you look at that people argue about when it comes to this economy. And let me tell you something. Both parties try to claim credit for when the economy is going good and try to shove the blame when it's going bad. But you know something? The president has no effect upon the economy. Next time they promise you how they're going to create all these jobs, you remember that. You know where all of that comes from? It comes from your Congress. And you know where the most important part of it comes from? It comes from the man who has the position and the title of the Fed chairman. And I can't remember the man's name now that is there, but Alan Greenspan was there before him. Ben That's Bernanke. The one. What's his name?
Ben Bernanke.
Ben Bernanke. That is the one that you better pay attention to. If the president has a chance to make a selection for someone to fill that place, that's when you had best pay attention. Because what he says upsets this whole world. Alan Greenspan said a little bit of something and the whole market went in a tizzy. This man who has come in said that he was going to try to be more open and more clear. He tried it one time. And the market went in a tizzy, and he realized, I can't be as clear as I thought I wanted to be. And he should have known better because he's worked with Alan Greenspan for years. He'd already seen what happened. That's the one who affects this economy. Congress affects it in that they set that budget. The president can send a budget, but they approve it. They can cast out. They can add to. And that's where all of this comes from. And the president can claim all he wants that I did all of this, but he didn't. And you need to wake up and see that. May the Lord help us. You see the battle even right there for the mind? They try to convince you, oh, he's going to do this and that. And I had a debate when Ronald Reagan was running against Walter Mondale. My co-worker asked me, who was going to vote for him? I said, well, I don't know yet. Who are you going to vote for? Well, I'm not going to vote for Mondale. I said, why? Because he said he's going to raise your taxes. I said, well, at least he's being honest about it. But I ain't voting for him. I said, let me ask you a question. Those who were in office, Republican at the time, you remember that you used to be able to claim all of your medical and dental stuff that you paid for on your taxes when you itemized? And then what did they do? They raised the ceiling where you have to get above this amount. And whatever's above that amount, you can claim. And when it came to some other things, they put in a ceiling where you have to be above this amount. And if you're above that, you can claim that. And they were wanting to take away your ability to deduct the interest that you pay on the mortgage on your house. Enough people complained about that they backed off of that. And I asked him, I says, what do you think they just did to you when they put those ceilings in there? I said, they raised your taxes. Well, I ain't voting for Mondale. I said, see, you're not thinking. It's all in the mind that, well, I'm going to vote for this one because he ain't going to raise my taxes, and it was already raised. You see how this goes? And the politicians know how to play with us that way. Now, Satan knew how to do that long before the politicians came. And spiritually speaking, that's where he's working. In the minds. Why in the minds? Because it's a gateway to the heart. Young people don't see detriment in anything. It's all up here in the mind. They don't see it until it's way too late. And many of them, even after it's too late and the consequences come, they still can't see that that's what it came from. Older people are the same way. And the elderly are the same way. That's why it speaks about the God of this world who has blinded the eyes. And that affects the mind. So we have a great battle here. You know about the scripture there in Romans, the first chapter. But let me just remind you again, starting with the 18th verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And you know the rest. When it begins to talk about changing the truth of God into a lie and burning one towards another. And we drop down to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That is a mind that can no longer determine what is right and what is wrong. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Not just fornication. And wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It's a battle of the mind. And so we find people calling evil good and good evil. You know, you look at it. I listen sometimes to some of these people, and I am amazed. And sometimes I'm sickened. We'll go out and we'll save the trees. We'll go out and we'll save the whales. We'll save the little fish. And to an extent, that's all right. But when it comes to the children, well, it's my choice. I don't want them. I can have an abortion. I'm like, who's going to save the children? Well, we have some that are trying to do it. But yet, they're just as bad as the people that are trying to kill them. So they feel like, well, if I bomb this place and blow it up and kill somebody in the process, it's justifiable. And you know, we have that right here amongst us, but when you look at the terrorists, we look at them and say, oh, they're some horrible people. We got that kind of mindset right amongst us in this country. And they're not tied in with Islam. See, it's not Islam. It's Satan. And that same principle exhibits itself in other ways without being influenced by Islam. May the Lord help us. But you know something? God can help us if we'll allow Him to. And He has given us His Word. Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's through God that the mind can be kept. There are a lot of people try to help other people. We was traveling down the road headed to Monarch, and I'm trying to listen to the radio. Everybody sleeps, so I'm trying to stay awake. And I catch Dr. Lara. Now, I'd heard somebody else speak about Dr. Lara, and they said if they were Dr. Lara, when they got through with that program, they would head to the nearest bar and tell them, "I need a double of whatever you've got." Because it's so depressing to listen to the people that call in. And, of course, they were looking at it and saying, these are the people that we're counting on to vote and try to decipher and pick the right candidates. And when they hear that kind of thing and they listen and you think, there's a whole lot more people out there like that. It's a sad shame. Now, I could kind of understand what he was saying, because the times I've listened to her is like, I can only stand and listen to so much. It's like, I can't believe. Listen to these people. Some of the things they call in and ask about is like, you need to ask that? But you see, it's dealing with the mind. But you know, even though she tries to help them, you can't help them. People don't want help like that. They just want somebody to coddle them and tell them what they're doing is all right. And as soon as she begins to question that, they clam up. Because they really wanted her to say, I'm okay, and yeah, you can do that. And then off they go, what Dr. Lara said. But you see, in the midst of that, none of that points them to the peace that passeth understanding. None of that points them back to God. And he said that by this peace, he would keep us. He would keep our minds. He would keep us in a place where we can realize that when I am pressed out of measure, God still keeps me. When I don't know what to do, His Spirit can still lead me. And it will give me answers as I go along the way. And in those places where I can't fathom the answer, if I can just keep following the Spirit, He'll lead me to a place that will come out right. And I'll have a peace and a calmness about it that keeps me in every way. For I don't have to be so disturbed that I crack under the pressure. 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter, verse 6 says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." He was telling Timothy, you keep this gift. You've been blessed by the Holy Ghost when we laid hands upon you, and now I'm putting you in remembrance that you stir up those things that God has given you. You keep that working in your life. Then he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have fear. What that means is that when we meet things and someone else, as they heard what the doctors was trying to tell them about their condition when they went to find out what it was, somebody said, "Well, that was just fear that came upon you." But the person responded to the minister and says, "Yeah, but you weren't the one feeling all of that after having dealt with all of this when that came." And you know that's true. The Spirit of the Lord does not keep us from experiencing in our emotions those things that are natural to man, and fear is one of those things.
Yes.
But what it does do is it enables us to battle and overcome those times,
yeah,
to where perfect love or a love for God casts that thing out. In other words, it does not make you insensitive to it, but it gives you the courage, it gives you the grace, it gives you the strength. It gives you the peace of mind to overcome it. You know, when the martyrs were facing death at the stake, you can't tell me some of them weren't trembling. But the Lord gave them a peace that passed all understanding. Lord, if this is the way you would have me to go, I say amen. I won't recant. I will not go back on you, Lord. I love you too much. And so they came on through. And that peace that passeth understanding, when people saw how in their fear they could still walk and meet death. In their fear, they could still go and not turn back. In their fear, they can still find courage to say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah. When the people saw that, that went beyond all understanding. Yeah. And it won many of them to the same kind of death. We need that same kind of peace today to keep our minds and our hearts towards God. Finally, let's go to Mark, the 12th chapter. The 28th verse. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You think about that. To love Him with innermost part of your being, has its affection set totally towards God. Anything that will separate you from that, anything that will take time away from that, anything that will pull you away from that, you reject that. Because it pulls away. And you want all of your heart, your love, your affections towards God. He said to do so with all thy soul, with all of thy life. And I took note as some of the commentators spoke about that, that he not only said all your life, but he mentioned your health. And I considered that some told Sister Catherine, you need to slow down so you don't wear out. And she would say, I'd rather wear out than rushed out. There have been times where different ministers, I'd heard where once Brother Warren, sick as could be, but somebody called, I need prayer. And he gathers himself up and puts on his clothes, and sick as he was, somebody needed to come and lay hands on him and pray for him, but there he goes to pray for somebody else. And there have been others that people have said, you're wearing yourself out. Now, we do need wisdom to take care of ourselves and to be healthy. But they said from way back then, some, if it called upon them to sacrifice their health, they would do that. Again, that tells me we need a deeper consecration and a greater appreciation for the price that is being paid as we go along the way. So when he says with all thy soul, it means with all thy life. Yes. Then he said, with all thy mind. But I'm going to touch that one last. He also said, with all thy strength. Yes. Whatever strength we have, intellectually, physically, influentially, whatever it is, we are to put it all towards the furtherance of God's Word. And if something pulls us away from that, we ought to let that go. He even mentions when it comes to art and science, and they name those two specifically. But I think the whole intent there is that when it comes to whatever we do with the labor of our hands to support ourselves and our families, yet when God calls upon it, and if the call of God calls us to go from that, then we need to go from that. If the call of those things causes us to turn from Him, we need to reject that. I remember once, I was on my way to work one morning, and I'd gotten there, and I was, sometimes as I would do, I'd get there a little early, and I'd sit there and try to read my Bible for just a few minutes. But once I got out of the car and I'm walking into the plant, Satan comes along and he says, "You're an engineer. That means you are a scientist. And you are supposed to be able to figure things out and understand how they work. So you ought to be able to figure out and see whether or not there really is a God, and whether or not that these things are done by God, and whether or not you should really trust God for the healing of your body." And I told him, "Yeah, Satan, I'm an engineer. And that does mean I'm a scientist. My degree is a Bachelor of Science. However, I can also see some other things just like you say. And I can look out in this world and I can see the handiwork of God and know He created that. That did not come by some Big Bang theory. And I can look out and read and see where He has blessed others with miracles upon their bodies, with miracles in behalf of situations they've encountered along the way. Yes, Satan, I can see that. And I can understand that there is a God who rules earth and heaven. And that there is a God who is able to work in behalf of mankind if we will humble ourselves and get in a place where He can fight for us." I've never had that conversation with him again. Not once. You see, he battles in the mind. And I remember that when this thing about creation and evolution was going on, and they've been having this battle in Kansas about whether to teach one and not the other. Some say if you're going to teach evolution, you need to teach creationism. Some are trying to just say we teach evolution and we don't get into that because that's religion. And they interviewed a professor that I had had for a class, and he's supposed to be a Christian man. Teaches Sunday school, I believe, at the time where he was at church, really involved in his church. But he told him he can believe in evolution along with God. And I read the article to see what the professor had to say. And I thought, well, that sounds, he taught a computer logic class. I said, that sounds like some logic. But it doesn't compute. May the Lord help us. But see, that's again a battle in the mind to get people to accept other things. And you know, many times you can look at some things and you can feel like, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't see it just right. And you find yourselves in a lot of instances questioning yourself. That's because Satan's trying to battle there. But may the Lord help us. He said to love Him with all thy mind. The part of man that reasons, that understands, the part of man that wills, perceives, the part that experiences, the part of man's human conscience. If we only have a head knowledge of this thing, we'll be miserable people. Because it's all by reason. It's all by logic. And Satan loves to work with that. To love Him with all our mind means that we're going to have some experiences with God. And when you have those experiences, they fill in the places that you can't reason out with human wisdom. They fill in the places where you just have to say, "I don't know how it happened. I just know that it did. And I know that He can." But it also brings us to a place, as I've said before, once we've had some of those experiences, if God were to choose to never bless us again, we still have enough to keep holding on to Him. Now, that's something that man can't hardly do. But it's true anyway. That if He stops blessing us, we still have enough to keep holding on and go all the way through with God. It's all in the mind. May the Lord help us as we go along the way to really serve Him with all our mind. Means to have our will subjected to His. It means we need to strive to know His will in a much deeper fashion than we have along the way. I'm not saying that we haven't, but there's a reason that they say past blessings will not suffice for today's problems. Because we need more. But it's because He's calling us to know more, to go deeper, to get in a place where we can really see He can fight the battles. And you know something else? That's so much more easier on the mind. It is so much more the easier on our minds. To get in a place where He can fight it instead of us trying to fight it so much ourselves. May God help us. Pray for the minds of the people. Pray. 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 And let me just say this. He's not here in our presence. Pray for Brother Kevin. Satan is trying to push him too fast. And he's trying to do it through someone that's saved. And they don't realize it. So you pray. And it's not me that just see it. I could tell. Brother Herbert saw it. I could tell from the request he put in for the brother a couple of Sundays ago. While the brother was here. If you were really paying attention, you would have heard the same call. You see how we need to gird up our minds and have them focused in. Many things can be said. And if you're listening, you'll pick it up. And then you can take it to God in prayer. Lord, have mercy. Pray for this other young brother, his brother. He is not delivered from the spirit that he has. That spirit has gone dormant, gotten quiet, because he knew it was getting ready to be targeted. It's not gone. It's laying low. Some feel like it's gone. It's not. And see, Satan's setting up some deception there. And let me give you this warning. I've seen this down through the years. I've seen people testify and people holler, "Amen." And I thought, do they know what they just said amen to? Were they really listening? Did they know what they said amen to? I heard someone testify once. And they said that when they saw their spouse, they saw their spouse with the body of a spider. And their head, their spouse's head on that body. And they said a little more and somebody said, "Amen." I'm like, "What? This is true." I couldn't believe it. Do they know what they just said amen to? Now, it sounds obvious to you right now. But you know something? Since I've been here, I've heard some people testify and people say amen. And I thought, they don't know what they just said amen to. Gird up your minds. May the Lord help us. Some of the things that we think we're seeing, that's really not where Satan wants us to focus in. And it's not where God wants us to focus in. Some of the things we see, Satan's put out there and it's a diversion while something else is working. And as I said before, I call it the fake dive and the end around. You know, the football players, the quarterback, act like he stuck the ball in the fullback's stomach. The fullback bends over the ball like he's got it, and he plunges right into the line. And if the linebacker bites it, takes the bait, he goes charging to the fullback and knocks him down with all his might, thinking, "I stopped the play." But the fullback pulled the football out of his belly, tossed it to the halfback, and he went around the end, and there he goes down the sideline, headed for the touchdown. Satan tries to do us that way. And we'll jump in and think, I'm getting right on it, and I got it stopped, and I'm standing for God. And he pulled it out, sent it to one of his imps, and down the sideline he goes, infecting other people with hurts, bitterness of heart. That's how he gets the touchdown. And it's all a battle in the hearts and the minds of the people. And it's a battle in your heart and your mind, and my heart and my mind. And we need to pray. That's how we'll overcome. May the Lord help us.